Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome again to another Transformation Tuesday. Transformation Tuesday, this is always a fun topic to talk about relationships. This is going to be a conversation that I continue from an interview I did this weekend at some local radio stations discussing relationships and the pursuit, I guess, of Mr. and Mrs. Right and what you can do to get yourself in a position to attract the person that's best for you. But before we get started, I see a few more callers are coming on. I just wanted to just update. Last week we did a call on procrastination, and I want to thank all of you guys who are part of the Transformation Tuesday group on Facebook. If you're not, join the group. It's a great community of like-minded individuals, positivity, and people to keep you encouraged with whatever our task is for that particular week. So last week we kept each other encouraged to just get rid of that procrastination tendency. Take the pro out of procrastination and move toward the direction of progress. And so I encourage those of you who have not joined the Transformation Tuesday group on Facebook to join. Those of you who are, thank you again for all of your feedback. It's just a great community to have where you can go and just connect with individuals who are going to keep you motivated in everyday life. So, again, I thank all of you guys for that. So, today, we're going to talk about relationships. And today's affirmation, and the affirmation I want you guys to just meditate on for the rest of the week as it relates to this topic of relationships, is that I am moving in the direction of joy. So, that's your meditation. That's your question. I am moving in the direction of joy. So I was doing some research in regards to singlehood or single life, as many of us call it. And quickly, those of you, I see folks are logging in on Periscope. If you want to live stream this or watch this conversation live, please feel free to just log in on my Periscope account, search for me on Periscope, and you can watch everything live. But the statistics showed that we now live in a country, in a nation, where there are actually just a slight percentage more single people than there are married individuals. And that's huge. That's a big difference from 1976, I think, where the statistics showed 37% of individuals were single. Currently, 50.2% of adults in the United States are single. That's pretty amazing, and that represents nearly 35 to 40% increase from just 40 years ago. So that's pretty huge. That's pretty huge. With all that being said, what does it all mean for those of us who may be looking, you know, or those of us who are single and happy in your singledom, and that's fine, and those of us who may be single, but hopefully one day you'd like to find someone who you can partner your life with and share your life with and be in a relationship. So these are going to be some tips today that I'm going to share with you guys, and they're under three umbrellas, the tips I'm going to give you. Loving yourself first, preparing for Mr. or Mrs. Right, and what should you do while you're in that phase of thinking, while you're in that phase of waiting. So let's start with the first step, loving yourself first. If you've guys been following me over, I think now we're in, believe it or not, I think maybe the 13th or 14th week of Transformation Tuesdays. And just a reminder, you can catch all the past episodes by going to my podcast. They're free for download on iTunes, or you can go to podomatic.com and search me, and you can get all the former podcasts there as well. But I'm really huge on just loving yourself. And the first chapter in my book, Bloom, is aptly entitled, Rediscovering You. And it's the longest chapter in the book, and the reason that it's the longest chapter is because rediscovering who you are is the most important step in just living a fulfilling life anyway. It's the most important step in attracting relationships that's going to be fulfilling as well. a lot of what happens in relationships, and a lot of reason that we have more or just about equal singles in this country as married individuals is because there's such a high rate of divorce, because oftentimes people get into relationships, marriages, partnerships before they even have a strong ideal of who they are. People are going to love you only as much as you love yourself. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you're looking for someone to complete you or that better half, you want to get rid of that notion, because looking for someone to complete you or looking for a better half would imply that you're less than whole. And it's so important for you to just become a whole person, W-H-O-L-E, a whole person, before, as you're, you know, as you're single and before you strike out to want to partner with someone. That just gives you such a sense of confidence and assurance in your own individuality. As I mentioned on the radio station this weekend, I want you guys to just look at the fact of really knowing who you are and rediscovering you as a prerequisite. You remember in college class, you had to take one class, prerequisite class, before going on to the next. So look at this step as a prerequisite for you to attract the person, Mr. or Mrs. Right, in your life. Don't look for anyone to complete you and rediscover you. Who are you? For those of you in my Transformation Tuesday group, one of the things I'm going to do, and we'll probably piggyback this in next week's call, we'll see, but I'm going to share with you the personality, quick, fun, easy, less than 5 minute personality inventory that I give all my clients, because I want you to take it and see what it says about your particular personality. And then we can take that information and discuss what personality types are going to be best suited for you. Oftentimes, we're living a life based on what our parents, our society, our culture told us that is best suited for us or what's appropriate, and maybe it doesn't really fit our personality or the true essence of who you are. So it's very important for us to do inventory of who it is that we are, what it is that we desire, and that's going to put us in a better position to attract people, not just relationships, but even friends and associates in your life that are going to be best suited for what it is that you represent. Get honest with yourself. That's so important. It's very important for you to get honest with yourself, to really evaluate maybe some truths or truisms that you believe that's not working out for you. You know, all of us come from families where there are particular things that were told for us, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, or you truisms when it comes to relationships, you know, that you may have carried on with you into adulthood, and it doesn't suit you well. It's not working for you. So really get honest and do inventory and find out what it is about you or what it is about your belief systems that may not be working for you. As I mentioned in past talks, you want to challenge what you think you know and go with what works for you. And I'll give you guys a quick story. I grew up, and my mom and my mother and father, they married each other 19 and 20. And I talk about this story in my book as well. And they got married on Christmas Eve. So I grew up always just imagining this wedding ceremony that they must have had on Christmas Eve and how romantic it had to be, because, you know, it's Christmas Eve. So I'm imagining snowflakes, poinsettias lining the aisle, and, you know, the whole nine. And, you know, as I got older, I realized that none of that held true, that my parents had just started dating 6 months earlier. There was an unexpected pregnancy. And in that day and time, if you got a girl pregnant, you married her. So it was my belief system that if you, you know, you were getting ready to have a child or had a child with someone, you had to marry them, because that was my belief system. That's what I knew happened with my parents. So in undergrad, when I unexpectedly became pregnant with my first child, that was just, it was a no-brainer for me. It was, you have to marry this person. And it was no, you know, well, is this person well-suited for me? Am I well-suited for him? It was no evaluation of who I was or the essence of who I was. It was just falling in line with what that whole truism is. If you, you know, have a child with someone, you marry them. And I ultimately went on and did that, you know, had three more children. And it wasn't until, you know, 12 years into the relationship that we both realized that we were not well suited for each other. You know, at the age we were when my son came in, neither one of us had a good idea of who we were, what we wanted our lives to look like. And it soon became obvious that it was detrimental for that. So what are some of the belief systems that you may have that you need to challenge? This is all part of loving yourself, loving yourself even beyond what some of these truisms are that you just held true for so long. You know, evaluate that. The second umbrella I want to talk about is preparing for that person, that and I'll say Mr. or Mrs. Right. I'll just say that. You want to know your non-negotiables. This is a big one here. Your non-negotiables. You know, if it is your intent to get married, then you don't want to date someone who is not interested in marriage. It's so often that people will have non-negotiables. Even take a moment now and think about the non-negotiables you have in relationships, whatever that may be. Some people's non-negotiable is they won't marry a married, they won't, I'm sorry, date a married man or woman, you know, and that's a pretty good non-negotiable to have. But you'd be surprised, and many of you won't be surprised, how many people actually will throw away that non-negotiable if they find themselves attracted to someone who's already in a relationship. But you need to know what those non-negotiables are. If it's your intent that you want to have children in life, then, and you meet someone who does not desire children, be careful about manipulation. Oftentimes people will let their non-negotiable slide because they believe that they'll be able to either coerce this person out of that non-negotiable. So if they find themselves with a married person, their belief system is, I'm going to just, you know, rock this person's world so well that they're going to leave their spouse. Or I'm going to, this person's going to love on me so hard that they'll want to marry me even though they say they never want to get married, or they'll want to have children with me even though they said that they're done having children or don't want any children. Be careful with that, because when you have non-negotiables, it's okay to have non-negotiables. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you shouldn't have non-negotiables in relationships. If it's your non-negotiable that you is mandatory that the person you date is emotionally healthy or has a job, you know, and we can go down the list, is not married, whatever those non-negotiables are, stick to them, because inevitably, and I see it time and time again, people who will dismiss their non-negotiables usually do so because they believe either, one, they'll be able to kind of navigate the relationship even though that non-negotiable is present, or two, they'll be able to manipulate the situation so that non-negotiable no longer exists. And I tell you, I've been in this field for a long time, and that never works. And allow yourself to be vulnerable. This is under preparing for that person, Mr. or Mrs. Right as well. And what I mean by allowing yourself to be vulnerable is you cannot enter into a relationship, a meaningful, fulfilling relationship, with defenses or barriers or hardened. Oftentimes, if we've had situations, which all of us have, we've been on the receiving end of being hurt by individuals, we've hurt individuals. Some of us may carry that hurt and refuse to, you know, our intent is I'll never be hurt again. If you have that intent, if you have that belief system or that attitude, you can't allow yourself to be vulnerable. And vulnerable is necessary. It's a prerequisite for intimacy, for meaningful intimacy in a relationship. You cannot have intimacy. A person cannot penetrate your heart and have a true, intimate, loving relationship if you're going to be defensive all the time. Because you think about it, that's just a barrier there that a person cannot cross. And if your intent is primarily on, I won't get hurt, I won't get hurt, you are not allowing all the goodness of a relationship to come in because you're keeping those defenses up. You're protecting yourself. And I know that's a scary one for many of my clients over the years when I tell them you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable, because if you're just on the defense all the time, there's no ability to just relax and just enjoy the relationship for what it is. And knowing yourself, also getting back to number one, you know, knowing yourself and knowing the true essence of who you are, even if you are hurt. hurt in another relationship, even if you find yourself in a relationship that doesn't work out, you know that you won't falter. You know you won't just lose yourself. So you kind of inoculate yourself against the devastation of a relationship ending when you have a firm sense of who you are. And the last umbrella is, what should you do while waiting for your spouse? Number one thing to do is don't wait. Don't wait. So this was one of the questions they asked on the radio program this weekend. You know, well, what should you do? What should you do, Dr. Rose, when waiting for your spouse? And my response was, you don't wait. It's like those same goals. You know, a watch pot never boils. And, you know, let's even think about that analogy. If you sit there and you're waiting for the water to boil, you're waiting for the water to boil, inevitably we always put the noodles in before the water's really waiting, really ready. And I want you to think of that analogy when it comes to relationships. If you're going around looking, if you're waiting, then it's going to increase the likelihood that you're going to make a poor selection process, and you don't want to do that. So, again, actively waiting for someone or looking for someone increases the chances of a poor selection process and trying to fit this square peg into a round hole. So you don't want to wait. You just want to live in the present moment. You want to date. It's okay to date. So I thought about this years ago when I was working and still working on a book on relationships. When you think about dating, because oftentimes people go into dating for the wrong reason. You go into dating to find that person. But I want you guys to change your perspective on dating, and I want you to look at dating as collecting data. Okay, D-A-T-A. So even that's the root word in dating. So I want you to look at dating as you're collecting data. So every date you go on is an opportunity for you to collect data on what it is that you like about, you know, the person that you are dating, what characteristics really appeal to you, and use that as part of your arsenal of things that's important to you. This is going to help you improve your selection process. We know within a few minutes on a date with someone if this is someone we're going to want to go out with again. And, again, that's data, because if this is someone that you say, I don't think I want to go out with this person again, you take that data and you say, okay, what characteristics about this person turned me off? Because now you're better equipped to make a better selection process the next time. So dating is about collecting data that's going to help you make a more informed decision in the future. So find yourself engaging in joyful activities. I want you guys to also, and this is imperative, find comfort in being alone. Being alone. Oftentimes people have a hard time being alone, and they will say, you know, someone in my life even is better than no one in my life. And that's a bad, again, perspective to take, because when you can find comfort in being alone, like I said, it inoculates you against the devastation that may come if a relationship ends. So if, you know, date yourself. Take yourself out on a date, you know. Treat yourself like you would want a person to treat you. Buy yourself nice gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. If you've never gone out and did something nice for yourself, taking yourself out to a nice restaurant, this is your assignment for the next week. Do it. Go out somewhere, again, not drive-through, but a nice restaurant where you can sit down, table for one, and treat yourself. Because I want you to get used to just really being in a space where you feel good, where you're being treated well, because that's going to attract someone who's going to do the same. So it's okay to do that. And as I said with our affirmation, move in the direction of joy in every activity you do. So you don't have to sit around and say, well, you know, I'm single, or this person just found someone and I wish there was someone in my life. You know, if you move in the direction of joy in all of your activities, you don't have time to be depressed, because you're engaging in joyful activities. And that's so important for you to do, to just surround yourself with a spirit of joy. And lastly, find real life examples of the qualities you want to have in a relationship. So no relationships are perfect, none. Don't believe it. You know, Facebook and social media is a perfect place for us to post pictures of the good times, but, you know, inevitably there's always going to be just the environment in any relationship where people have to work things out. And that's the key. If you can figure out how to work things out and work through each other's own imperfections, then you can have a very successful, loving relationship. But I want you to find real life examples of what you want. It's oftentimes been said relationships are an opportunity for two people to get together and work out all the issues that they haven't worked out. So if there are daddy issues, mama issues, if there's trust issues, you don't see that stuff in the beginning typically, but once you kind of pair in a relationship, all of that comes out because now a person feels safe to let this stuff out on you. And so you want to have yourself as emotionally healthy as possible so you can attract the most emotionally healthy person. So even when these things come up, when these issues come up, you are better suited to work them out. So when you look out at other relationships in your environment that's around you or that you notice in your environment, notice what it is about those particular relationships that attract you. Is it the affection that they show each other? Is it the acknowledgement, oftentimes the public acknowledgement that each one and affection that they show each other? Is it the respect? Is it the adventure and fun that these individuals seem to share with each other? Make a list of the qualities that you may see in other relationships that are attractive to you, because that gives you also a better idea of what it is you want to enjoy. I've had people tell me that their desire, they want to find someone they can travel with, explore the world, and have adventures with, you know, and then you link up with someone, and these are real life examples of who doesn't even fly. They're afraid to get on a plane. You know, that's going to limit some adventure that you have in your life. But if you have a firm idea of what it is that you desire in a relationship, the qualities, the characteristics that you want it to portray, you're more likely to make a more informed decision when that person enters your life. So these are some steps here. I'll share these steps again on the Transformation Tuesday group page on Facebook. So if you haven't joined, look us up, you know, and send a request to join. And again, our affirmation is move in the direction of joy. I am moving in the direction of joy. And make that your goal this week. Make that your goal today. Get out there, start moving in the direction of joy, and start living your life in full bloom. Thank you, and I will talk to you guys all next week. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.